الله الرحمن الرحيم. The topic for the present talk is interfaith dialogue. It is generally understood that religious differences are the main cause of all those conflict. So they want to remove all these differences. This is the main purpose of all those dialogues and discussions. But why these dialogues failed? You know, every day there are dialogues, such dialogues, in every country, but in vain. So we have to reassess, we have to revise our strategy. Maybe there are something wrong. I myself have participated in a number of dialogues, and I found that all these dialogues are nothing but a kind of talking shops. No result at all. Now, what is the basic reason? According to my experience, the basic reason is that the concept is quite unnatural. The basic ideology is unnatural. Why? Because difference is not part of religion. Difference is part of nature, part of the creation plan of God. So how you can remove all these differences? How we can eliminate all those differences? It is impossible. So we have to find out some formula of adjustment rather than formula of elimination, because it is simply impossible. According to my experience, there are basically two trends. First trend is that is presented by Indian religions, that all religions are true. So this formula is based on acceptance, principle of acceptance. You have to accept all the religions as true religion. This concept was advocated by Swami Vivekananda in Chicago's Parliament of Religions in 1893. There were presentation of all the religions, all the major religions. So at that time, Swami Vivekananda proclaimed that all the religions are true. All the religions are true. So this is one concept. It means that I am true, you are true. I am right, you are right. Both are right. But this concept is against the very basic concept of religion. Why? What is religion? What is the greatest contribution of religion? Religion gives you conviction that I have found the truth. So this kind of conviction that every religion is true generally snatches this conviction from you. Conviction means oneness. Conviction needs oneness. So, it is unnatural. So, it is not feasible. Then the second trend is based on that there is some religion, there is mega religion. Meaning, one religion is superior religion or all the religions are inferior religion. This concept may be true, but it is not workable. Dialogues are not to find out the true religion. No. Dialogues are only to find some adjustment, some settlement, some practical solution. And for this purpose, the concept of mega religion cannot work. I would like to refer some. I would like to mention some references from the Quran and Hadith. According to my study, Quran has given the best solution to this problem, best possible solution. That is given in the Quran in these words: Lakum deenukum walaya deen. For you, your religion, for me, mine. This principle can be formulated in these words: follow one and respect all. So this principle is based on mutual respect. Swami Vivekananda's principle is based on mutual recognition, mutual acceptance. That is not workable. It seems to be a beautiful idea, but it is not workable. It is not. But the Islamic principle is completely workable. It is the only practical solution of this problem. And this principle is based on a universal principle, that is coexistence. Everywhere there are coexistence. Among galaxies, among stars and planets, and also in all other disciplines, like political discipline. So coexistence is the only practical formula towards this problem. So I think that Islam is here in a position to provide the best formula of dialogue. Then, you see, Prophet of Islam successfully implemented this formula in Arabia. When he was in Mecca, at that time this verse was revealed: Lakum deenukum walaya deen. For you, your religion, for me, mine. This was principle given in Meccan period. Then, when he migrated to Medina and he was able to establish a state, he declared, he issued a declaration that is called Sahifatul Medina or Medina Declaration. In this declaration, there was a provision that Lil Yahudi Deenuhum Ulil Muslimina Deenuhum. For Jew, their religion, for Muslims, their religion. You know, at that time in Medina, there were some new tribes. They were not only Muslims, but some Jewish tribes. So they were a large community. They were living in Medina as a large community. So Prophet of Islam issued this declaration. And in this declaration, it was mentioned that Lil Yahudi Deenuhum والمسلمين دينهم. Vajju, their religion, or Muslims, their religion. So this was the implication. This was the implementation. This was the practical implementation of that principle that was given in the Makkah period. In these words, Lakum Deen, Lakum Waliya Deen. For you, your religion, for me, mine. Then there are many examples from the life of the Prophet of Islam. For example, when he was in Medina, so one day it happened that Prophet of Islam saw a funeral procession passing through a street in Medina. He was seated at that time. On seeing the funeral, he stood up in respect. In respect. So one of his companions said, O Prophet, it was funeral of a Jew, not a Muslim. You gave respect to a non-Muslim. Prophet of Islam said, Alaysat Nafshan, was he not a human being? This event is referred in Sahih al-Bukhari. It will be authentic book. So here you can see that the Prophet of Islam discovered a commonality between himself and that non-Muslim. Was he not a human being? It means that everyone is equal as a man. No difference at all. The religion is your personal matter. But when comes a social relationship, all are equal. All are insan, all are human being. This is the true spirit of Islam. And this is the only practical solution to the to those differences. Then I would like to say that their difference is not an evil. Not at all. Difference has a very positive value. You know, it is difference that creates challenges. That is challenge that leads to development. So all the developments, all the progress is based on competition and challenge. And it is difference that creates differences then. It is difference that creates challenge. So without challenge, there is no development. And without difference, there is no challenge. So according to the Krishna Purana of God, life is based on difference. Difference is a positive part of our life. Without difference, there is no development at all. Intellectual development, spiritual development, even industrial and material development cannot be achieved without differences. So, according to my experience, this is the only basis of successful dialogue. But I can say that present Muslims are least competent to follow this principle. Muslims are living in the sense of superiority. Present Muslims are living in the sense of pride. So, according to my experience, when they participate in dialogue, they try to establish their general experience. So, in all the dialogue I participated, Muslim speakers always try to establish that Islam is superior religion. Thus, they want to establish their pride. It means that, according to their mindset, dialogue is not dialogue, it is a debate. According to my experience, I can say that Muslims don't know the spirit of dialogue. They are aware only about the spirit of debate. So Muslims are not very competent to participate in dialogues. But I would like to say that Islam has given the only practical formula towards dialogue. Dialogue is not for establishing your superiority. Dialogue is not to find out the true religion. That's your personal matter. You have to study, you have to observe, you have to find out the truth with the capital T for you. But dialogue, the sole purpose of dialogue is to find out some settlement, some adjustment. It is our social need. So it is not a logical need. Dialogue is not to find out the true religion. No. Dialogue is only to find out some formula for settlement, for social harmony, for better social living. Then, I would like to refer a very important hadith. It is said that the Prophet of Islam used to rise early in the morning before Fajr, and after his prayer he used to say Allahumma shad anna al-ibad kullahum ikhwa. O God, I bear witness that all human beings are brothers and sisters to each other. This is the best formula of social harmony. According to this hadith, all men and women are sisters and brothers to each other. So this hadith gives us the ideological base. Then there is a social formula given by the Prophet of Islam in these words: Al Muslimu man salaman naso bil lisanihi wa yadihi. A true Muslim is one by whose hands and tongues people are safe. This is the only formula for peaceful living. According to Islam, man was born free. Everyone is free. Freedom is our right by birth. But we must live as a harmless person. We are not allowed to be harmful. You are given freedom, total freedom, but we are not allowed to be harmful to our to any member of the society. So according to this, everyone must live as a peaceful member of society, as a harmless member of society. So, this is the only very practical formula given by the religion of Islam. I will repeat that the purpose of dialogue is not to find out the true religion. No. Purpose of dialogue is not to seek a mega religion. No. Purpose of dialogue is only for settlement, for adjustment. To seek the formula of better social living. So all those conflicts, it is general perception that religious differences lead to conflict, and conflict sometimes leads to violence. But it is not the reason is not difference. Reason is misuse of freedom. You have to differentiate between the two. Those conflict or those violence are due to misuse of freedom. You cannot attribute these things to difference. Difference gives you incentive. Difference motivates you to compete. Difference gives you a challenge. So all those negative activities are due to misuse of freedom. It is not due to difference in religion. So we have to differentiate between the two. Islam is very clear. According to Islam, it is not Islamic concept that every religion is true. But according to Islam, every human being is free to believe that his religion is true. He has found the truth in the with the capital T. But it is his personal ideology, his personal belief. When comes the social living, you have to adopt the formula of peace, formula of tolerance, formula of avoidance. So it is not very difficult, because man has great capacity to live in composite culture, to live in contradictions. One philosopher has rightly said that I am large enough to contain all these contradictions. So it is quite possible for a man to believe that I have found the truth with the capital T, but at the same time he can live in society with complete peace and tolerance. So there is no contradiction between the two. God has given you a mind, a faculty that you can live with contradictions. I believe this saying that it is quite right. When the philosopher said that he was quite right, that I am large enough to contain all these contradictions. So we are large enough to contain these two contradictions. At one side, we can believe that we have found the truth with the capital T, but at the same time, we can live with complete peace, with complete harmony with others, provoking. So this is the Islamic formula. And I think that Muslims must rediscover this Islamic formula. Present Muslims are living in the sense of pride. Everywhere, not only in India, USA, everywhere Muslims are living in pride. And pride is an obstacle towards fruitful dialogue. With pride, you cannot be a good participant of a dialogue. Muslims must abandon this wrong concept. Islam is not for pride. Islam is for submission. Pride, sense of pride is against Islamic spirit. Sense of pride is, here in India, there are some people who say, also in USA, that I am proud to be a Muslim. No, it's wrong. I don't subscribe with this notion. So pride is quite un-Islamic. And also against the spirit of dialogue. The true spirit of Islam is submission, surrender, avoidance, peace. You know, according to Islam, peace is the summum bonum. I can say that according to Islamic teaching, peace is the summum bonum. Peace is the greatest good. So we have to maintain peace at any cost. At any cost. Because where there is peace, there are all kinds of activities. Religious activities and all other activities cannot be carried out without peace. So according to Islam, we have to maintain peace at any cost. And we have to participate in dialogues with the spirit of tolerance, not with the spirit of pride. So, according to my experience, Muslims are unfit to participate in dialogue because their mindset is based on pride. And pride is quite against the spirit of dialogue. So this is my experience and this is my study. I am a great advocate of dialogue. I have participated in a number of dialogues. And, you know, the first dialogue or trilogue was organized in Medina at the time of the Prophet of Islam. When Prophet of Islam was in Medina and he built the mosque that is called Masjid Nabawi, so Prophet himself organized a trilogue. In this trilogue, there were three participants: Muslim, Christian and Jew. So it is called, so Islam himself promote the spirit of dialogue. But present Muslims have lost the true spirit of dialogue because they are living in pride. I think that first of all, Muslims must abandon the sense of pride. Thank you.
Jazakallahu khairan, Maulana sahab. It was very enlightening and it is clear to me. Now I will open the floor for questions. So now people are free to ask questions. Maulana sahab will answer. Are there any questions?
Assalamu alaikum, Maulana sahab. This is Faik Farooqi from California. Question I have is, Jazakallah khair, first of all, for the enlightening session. Question I have is, at some of these people who are in the missionaries of Christian faith, sometimes they come in and knock at your door and try to establish a dialogue. What should be our response to them? They're like they're like the same people, like Tablighi Jamaat kind of, where they kind of come in, knock at everybody's door, and just talk about Christian faith.
I would say that if we want to exercise the right of freedom, then we have to give others also. If you are free, others also are free. So everyone is free. We have to participate with them as a peaceful member. We have to emphasize on the concept of peace in Islam. So free discussion is good, scientific discussion, but free discussion is not for establishing your pride. We have to accept them as a human being, and with the respect and with the spirit of tolerance, we have to participate in these discussions. That will be good for the both parties.
Jazakallah khair.
Next question.
Malana, sir, can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Give your name first and place.
Okay, this is Guliseva Ahmed from Maryland, USA. My question is, there's a word in Quran, fakhur. What is the meaning of fakhur?
Pardon, I don't understand.
There's a word in Quran, fakhur. What is the meaning of fakhur?
Fakhur?
Yes.
Fakhur. It's pride. Fakhur here is in indicative sense. Here, Quran uses the word fakhur in indicative sense. It's not a positive sense. You can consult any translation.
I mean, are they the same, like proud to be a Muslim and fakhur? Are they the same?
Is it possible for you to read the whole ayah? Translation?
I don't have it in front of me, but there's a word. I mean, I talked to someone and they said this is not the same.
Yes.
Fakhur is
in Allah la yuhibbu kull mukhtal fakhur.
Yes.
Yeah.
The ayat is that in Allah la yuhibbu kull mukhtal fakhur. God doesn't like those who live in pride. The pride, God dislikes the pride.
Jazakallah.
One minute.
Jazakallah. Next question, please.
So, this verse, according to this verse, God dislikes pride. Okay. You can find this verse in this chapter, Luqman. 18, verse 18.
Jazakallah khair. Next question, please. Maulana sahab, I have a question.
I'm listening.
There is one ayah in Suratul Imran. The translation is, he that chooses a religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him, and in the world to come he will be one of the lost. Could you please comment on this ayah?
Over here, غير الإسلام دينا فلن يقبل من وفي الآخرة من الخاسرين.
Yeah. How does it fit?
The question.
The question is, how does it fit in interfaith dialogue? This ayah, probably Muslims take it as the superiority of their own religion, because Allah says that Allah does not accept any deen other than Islam. So how does it fit in the interfaith dialogue, this ayah?
The superiority is not a very good word. Don't use superiority.
No, that's what Muslims, you know, take it, I'm saying. I'm not saying that it is meant for superiority. So
those people who use superiority, word superiority, I don't subscribe with this word. But I believe that there is a truth with the capital T. It's a fact. There must be a truth with the capital T. So I have already said that we can believe that truth A is the truth. Truth A is the truth with the capital T. But it is my belief, it is my ideology. But at the same time, we are a social animal. We have lived in society. So we have to find some social settlement. There are two different issues: my personal ideology and how to live in a society with harmony. So, according to Islam, as I know, everyone has right to believe that he has found the truth with the capital T. It is his personal belief. It is his own ideology. But when comes the social living, we have to be tolerant. We have to avoid. We have to observe peace. So it is two different issues. And in our life, we know that sometimes you have to observe the same method. It is not alien in everywhere you believe that I am right, but at the same time you respect the others. So this is the it is a culture that is commonly accepted culture. So why not in religion? There is no conflict between belief and social practice. If you believe that my religion is true, you have right to believe, to live with such belief. But you have no right to be harmful in society. I think this is the best formula. And I can say that it is a practical formula.
Jazakallah khair. Next question, please.
Kaleem sahab.
Go ahead.
Hello, Rafiq Lodhia bol raha hu. I am Rafiq Lodhia.
Ji.
I want to continue with your question to Maulana sahab. I want to ask Maulana sahab, Kaleem has referred to an ayah and asked a question. The problem with most of the Muslims, whether they are laymen or intellectuals, the superiority complex has taken hold in their mind that whatever they do, they are forgiven. Whatever misdeeds they do, however they behave in the society, they always think in the superiority complex. They have developed this thing, and it's very difficult to shake it. So even though your answers are good, but how can we diffuse this mindset? How can Muslims diffuse this mindset? Because this mindset is crippling the entire Muslim ummah, because they always feel that they are far above the rest, because Quran ayah states this, and they think without understanding, they think that they are above everybody else, and it's just the biggest problem that we are facing.
Yes, you're right. But the question is that concept of pride is not derived from Islam. Not at all. As I have quoted earlier, Inna Allah la yuhibbu kulla mukhtalin fakhur. God dislikes pride. It's very clear in the Quran. So it is true that Muslims are living in superiority complex. But this is not Islamic. It's against Islamic. This concept is derived from history, not from Quran or Hadith. It is a fact that Muslims are able to establish an empire in later period. So this concept of pride is derived from history and not from Islam. Islam is a religion of submission, religion of surrender, religion of modesty. So it is deviation from Islam. Those who are living in pride, they have deviated from the true teachings of Islam. So there is a difference between Islam and history. History is a Muslim phenomenon. History of later period is a Muslim phenomenon, the Islamic phenomenon. It's not Islamic phenomenon. So if you read Quran and Hadith, you will find that Islam teaches modesty, Islam teaches submission, Islam teaches surrender. This is the true spirit of Islam. But as far as history is concerned, history gives them sense of pride. So present Muslims are living in history rather than in the ideology of Islam. So we have to revive the true spirit of Islam. We need revival.
Jazakallah khair. Next question.
Kalim Saab.
Go ahead.
Excellent answer, Maulana Saab. It's a very excellent answer that you've given. Now, how, if you don't mind, can I continue just for a few minutes? Maulana Saab, you have given an excellent answer that we, you know, Muslim derive all these things from the history and not from the real Islamic, the spirit of Islam. You have given a fantastic, a great explanation. Now, how do we translate this practical explanation, intellectual explanation, to the common man, common Muslim out there? How do we do this?
Yes, it's possible. You know, at the same time, Muslims believe that Quran is the word of God. Hadith is the word of the Prophet of Islam. Every Muslim believes. So here is the starting point. We can convince these Muslims that what you have derived from Islam is not true Islamic spirit. It is based on a wrong interpretation. It is my experience that when I try to make people that this concept is based on wrong interpretation, I found that they surrendered, they accepted. Every day here in India, there are some examples that when I have told them and I referred them those verses that is against this spirit, they surrendered. Every day, the problem is that at present Muslims are quite unaware the true interpretation of Islam. Due to this unawareness, we see this phenomenon everywhere in the world. So we can make aware, and the problem will be solved. It is my experience. I have changed. My minds of thousands and thousands of people during my my mission. So I am hopeful, and according to my experience, I am hopeful.
Yeah, this is my experience. In fact, I'm myself is evident of what you are saying. That in my youth days, I was a very hearty person, or subscribed to other ideologies of pride, or establishing pride over others. But after reading your literature, it has re-engineered my mind towards peaceful existence. Any more questions, please? Any more questions? Okay, here is my question, another question. You have attended many interfaith dialogues, conferences, international conferences between various religions. So what is the approach of their interfaith dialogue? What idea or what ideology Christians have, what ideology Jews have, what are they presenting in interfaith dialogue?
According to my experience, the worst participants were Muslims. Christians are better than the Muslims. Among Christians, there are they have the spirit of dialogue among Christians. Even in Jewish people, they know what is the true spirit of dialogue. They know. But Muslims don't know. Muslims know only their pride. So in every dialogue, they wanted to receive their pride. And this was not accepted for other parties. So according to my experience, in terms of dialogue, Christians are better than the Muslims. So we have to train Muslims. And I'm doing that job. I'm training Muslim mind.
Okay. In continuation of that, maybe it is a reason why other people or people of other religions think that Islam is an intolerant religion. Whereas, as you have depicted, that it is not intolerant religion, but it is the intolerant Muslims. So, as I understand, that we have a great duty to dispel this notion among other people that Islam is not an intolerant religion. Another question that I have is that there are notions, probably you have cleared this one, that Akbar has presented a formula called Deen-e-Ilahi, or Bhagwan Das has presented a formula for religious harmony, that essential unity of religions, or Gandhi has presented a formula, Ram Rahim Ek Hai. So how does this work?
No, it is not workable. All these formulas failed. Because they tried to make people believe that all the religions are true. This is completely unnatural. It's not factual. You have to accept that there are differences. I have read that book that Bhagwan Das compiled by Bhagwan Das. What he presents different religion in a selective way. He has selected some parts of all the religion. It is not scientific way. You have to take the religion in totality. And when you take the religion in totality, there are differences. You cannot deny it. So this formula that all the religions are true, adopted by Gandhi or Bhagwan Das or Akbar, is not correct. And best formula is practical formula, that you believe according to your own, but at the same time, you have to live in harmony, with tolerance, as a peaceful member of the society. This is the practical formula. This is the Islamic formula.
When we follow this formula, that is, lakum dinukum waliye din, then where does and how does dawah work fit in? So
there is no contradiction. There is no contradiction between the two. Everyone is free to express his belief. At the same time, in practical terms, he should live with peace. There is no contradiction between the two. You are free to believe according to your own finding. But in practical sense, in social behavior, in your moral behavior, you have to live with, we have to adopt that formula, that universal formula, that is coexistence. Coexistence is a practical formula. It is not an ideological formula.
Ji. Jazakallah khair. Any more questions?
Yes. Kalim Sahab, Malana Sahab.
Your name, please. Name and place.
Rafiq Lodhia.
Oh, sorry. I failed to recognize.
That's okay. Mm-hmm. Malana Sahab, you just touched the subject of giving an example of Christian and Jewish spirit of dialogue. But another problem that we confront all the time is that whenever we praise certain good characters of Jewish people of the book, whether Jewish, Christian, or even Hindus or Buddhist or anybody, quite a majority of Muslims get offended and they will start accusing, you only favor the Christian, you only favor the Christian Jewish viewpoint, you only favor this viewpoint. This is another problem that many Muslim Americans are here. They have no tolerance for listening to others' viewpoints. So, how do we tackle this mindset? How do we deal with this thing within our own Muslim people? They get offended very quickly. Oh, you're supporting their viewpoint. That's not right. We are Muslim. We are pure. We are. Have a perfect religion, so they go into all this thing.
Yes, you are right. We are facing also this problem here in India, and the reason is that Muslims are living on their own, in their own world. Yes, Muslims at present, Muslims are not following the spirit of Islam. Their notions, their behavior is not derived from Islam. It is derived from their national ambitions. They have some ambitions, political ambitions, material ambitions. So they are living in their material ambitions, political ambitions. They are not following Islam. But when you make them aware that what you are following, it is a worldly culture, it is political culture, it is not Islam. So according to my experience, I can say that they will admit that we were wrong, and they change their life, their mindset. So my experience is very positive here in India. But the only condition is that the dai must be completely positive. It is my experience that dai themselves, those dai who are doing the work, they themselves are not living in complete positive psychology. They have some negative thought. They are against the American policy in Iraq and Afghanistan. They are against the Hindu policy referring to the Kashmir. So they themselves are living in negativity. So we have to adopt unilateral, we have to adopt positivity on unilateral basis. Then you are a true Dai. And then your Dawah will be effective. Without purifying yourself, your Dawah cannot be effective.
I have another question. These days, Muslims, Christians, and Jews have embarked upon many interfaith activities. They are forming interfaith communities all over the world. One example is, this weekend there is something going on that is called One World 2011. So about 100 mosques and 100 synagogues all over the world, they pair up. And the youths of that mosque and youths of that synagogue, they will have dialogue, or they will have events, they will exchange things. So, and other activities here in America, like the people establishing kitchen soups or people together doing such activities as, helping poor people or doing all other activities. So how does this help promoting interfaith dialogue or forming this type of interfaith communities help the promotion of interfaith understanding or interfaith harmony?
Yes, it is good, but in partial sense. It is useful, but in partial sense. You have to evolve an ideology. Man is a thinking animal. You have to feed his mind. Without an ideology, you cannot change the human behavior. These things are cultural activities. So cultural activities are effective, but in partial sense. I always emphasize on ideology. Without an ideology, you cannot change human mind.
Yeah, this is what I'm also thinking. It has become a fashion among Muslims also. They are copying without stressing this point of tolerance. I have been thinking how these activities will remove that sting that we have, that the people say the Islam is an intolerant religion.
No, I don't think so. I don't believe that these activities will remove all those misconceptions. We know in India also there are so many Indian party and so parties, but these parties, Hindu Muslim parties, fail to yield any positive result. Without changing your mind, presently what is happening, all the Muslims are living in negativity. Those Muslims who are organizing in a party or those iftar party, they are living in negativity. They have developed hate against Hindus, against Americans. So first of all, we have to remove those hate. Without removing that hate, simply organizing some cultural activities does not work. So charity begins from home. The starting point is to remove your own negativity from your heart. Here is the beginning.
Jazakallah. Any more questions?
Kaleem Sahib, it's more than an hour, so let him go, please.
Go ahead.
Oh, I said it's more than an hour.
More than an hour, okay.
Thank you
very much for reminding that
you are free.
Time, yeah. So, Maulana Sahab, Jazakallahu Khairan. It's very enlightening that Muslims have to embark upon the interfaith dialogue based upon mutual respect, and that is the one formula that you have said, lakum dinukum waliyadin. It is really a practical formula, and have conviction in whatever conviction, in the conviction in the religion, oneness of God, and then follow the principle of lakum dinukum waliyadin. That means follow one and respect all. That's what you said. It is, I believe it's a golden formula to live in harmony with other people. So this is what we need to propagate. Jazakallahu khairan.
Thank you.
So you can
thank you.
Jazakallahu.
Thank you.
So I thank everyone for attending this one. And we will have our next teleconference meeting the first Friday of next month. That will be December 3rd. 3rd of December, Friday, inshallah, I will send an email. So I really thank from the bottom of my heart that you have participated, and we need to embark upon Dawah work. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.